ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 18, text 38, on this Sunday, on the 20th of November, 2016. Kindly repeat, Nisamyam, Tad, Vacho, Vipro, Vimana, Paryatapyata, Aho, Adharmaha, Sumahan, Adya, Me, Sanupastita, Nisamyata Vacho, Vipro, Vimana paryata pyata Aho adharma sumahan Adyame samupastita Nisamyata dvacho vipro Vimana paryata pyata Aho adharma sumaham Adyame samupastita Nisamyata vacho vipro Vimana paryatapyata Aho adharma sumaham Adyame samupastita Nisamyam, hearing Tatvacha, her words, Vipraha, the Brahmana, Vimanaha, aggrieved, Paryatapyata, lamented, Aho, alas, Adharmaha, impiety, Sumuhan, very great, Adya, today, me, upon me, Samupastitaha, has come. Translation. Upon hearing Diti's request, Kashyapa Muni was very much aggrieved. Alas, he lamented, now I face the danger of the impious act of killing Indra. Kindly repeat, upon hearing Diti's request, Kashyapa Muni was very much aggrieved. Alas, he lamented. Now I face the danger of the impious act of killing Indra. And then there is a purport, short purport. Okay, Hare Krishna. Although Kashyapa Muni was eager to fulfill the desire of his wife Diti, when he heard that she wanted the son to kill Indra, his jubilation was immediately reduced to nothing, because he was averse to the Adi. Omaganati Miranda Shagana Ganas Lakya Shakshurun Miritam Yanatasmay Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Krishna Bhutale
Srimate Bhaktivedanta Sanatanamana. Namaste Saraswati Devi Guravani Prachamne Nirvisesasanivadi Prasakyadati.
So the verse was Nisamyata Vacho Vipro Vimana Paryatapyata Aho Adharma Sumahan Adyame Samupastitaha. Upon hearing Diti's request, Kashyapa Muni was very much aggrieved. Alas, he lamented, now I face the danger of the impious act of killing Indra. Hare Krishna. So yesterday, Bhadri Narayan Maharaj, he used some American expression for what was going on here, being sucked or something. In this verse, it's very short. It's short, it's not a long purport, but it's a very loaded moment in the story. Right here, the wife has been so wonderful, so nice. She just was the ideal wife. She put on a show. So he was captivated, and he has been glorifying her and glorifying the womanhood, how they're so wonderful in many ways. And then on the previous verse, let's see if it was the previous year. So then he says, my dear wife, I'm so satisfied, I'm so pleased. Basically, whatever you want, I will give you. What can I do for you? And then she said, yes, you can do something for me. Of course, she wanted a son. And that's maybe not bad. And we're totally natural that the lady or the wife wants to have a son, a child. But there is additional condition to the child. That the child would be able to kill Indra. Of course, the verse is mentioned, Indra Hanam means one who can kill Indra, but it may also mean one who follows Indra. So she has explained that she already had two children actually with Kashyapa, two boys, and that was none other than Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. I'm going to make further adjustments. Okay, good. We try. She got two children, but they turned out to be the biggest demons. The biggest demon in the universe, and maybe the biggest demons in history of the creation, not just the history of mankind, the history of creation. And they were finally both killed by some avatar appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Varahadev came to defeat Hiranyaksha, and Nrisingadev came to defeat Hiranyakashipu. So that way, it was blessed. In a way, it was blessed. You got children that was actually killed by the Lord. And that's a good thing, we could say. But now she has this, a feeling of revenge. She wants to revenge. It was mentioned here before, she can't revenge on Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is just, but she took revenge on Indra, who Lord Vishnu protected. Now here we are, what we're dealing with here is, we can say, family history on the highest level of the universe. Because here you have Diti, who is the sister of Aditi, who have both married to Kashyapa Muni. But there's st-
stated that there is other sisters also, but some of the Diti, she didn't get children, and in inappropriate ways she approached her husband to have children, and thus Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu manifested. And we could say a continuation of that. Now she wants a child who can kill Indra, because her children were killed by Vishnu, the good friend of Indra. So she puts up the scheme. Okay, there's the family, the universal family, the topmost level. Ditya and Aditya is like grandchildren of Lord Brahma. And then, so even up there, there is problems. Then, okay, Aditi, she is the mother of all the demigods, or basically the most of the demigods. She is blessed with having all these nice children who became the demigods. And then Diti, she becomes the mother of the Daityas, of the demon, of the demonic dynasty. So here, now she has revealed her heart to her husband. I want a child, a son. Please give me a son who can kill Indra. This was not what the husband expected. So he now in this text, he's just heard it, the bad news. My wife has been so nice just to get a child to kill Indra. And actually Indra is also then a child of Kashyapa Muni. I mean, there's always, I don't exactly know it works there, but they are very closely related. So then he expresses, he's concerned that he's going to, he says, now I face the danger of the impious act of killing Indra. Of course, I could also say, he's concerned with being impious, doing the wrong thing. We may ask, now I'm going to kill Indra. Oh, he doesn't exactly, he's concerned about the impious act. You could say, well, he's concerned about Indra also. Who say, my other son, my whatever. Now, in this context here, what comes to my mind, the question here, or the observation we can say, is he get this news, so he could have said, no way, I'm not going to give you a child who can kill Indra. I'm not going to give you any children at all. What are you doing? Are you cheating me? Well, he will speak quite nicely in the following verse about the woman and their character. And the interesting thing, he doesn't blame the women or his wife, but he will rather say, well, because therefore they are not, to blame. They're not to blame. The fault is with me. Okay, but here, this is, here he says, okay, I will be the cause of Indra's death, and he's aggrieved. But we could say, why not quit the contract? No, he doesn't. And that's what I find the great thing in the Bhagavatam, or in our Vedic tradition, in all these stories, is we have these heroes who gave a promise and kept it. Even though it sometimes seemed very crazy from our modern point of view. Why, you know, this situation, why he should go along with his wife's request. Another interesting thing is that the husband was so powerful, the wife could ask, I want a son, not a daughter. And I want a son who can kill Indra. So they had something to give, these personalities. I will ask for it, he can give it. Nowadays, I don't know that that is in the power of the man. There's a change of time. We are the human beings, and we're not only human beings, but we are in the age of Kali. So these personalities in the Bhagavatam, there's many instances where similar instances. One is also first thought of in Ramayana. You have Dasarath, the father of Ram, who happily wants to finally, I'm going to put my son Ram on the throne. It's just the right time, and I want to retire. Everyone loves him. So then he makes an announcement, and everything is prepared. But then one of his wives, there's Kaushalya, the mother of Ram, and then there's Kakei, the mother of Bharata. But now she, of course, in the beginning she is also happy, but then her maid or servant there, she comes and pollutes her mind, and then there is this thing that a long time ago Kakei saved her husband on the battlefield. And then her husband gave her a boon, or if it was that she could ask for whatever. But then she said, no, I don't need it now. Maybe later sometime. Okay, I'm your wife. I'm your wife, not to take boons and benefit, to serve you. But now there, she was reminded by her servant that you have these boons. Ask your husband to, what is it? Send Ram to the forest for 13 years. Jai Sri Sri Gonitai Ki Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shamsunda Ki Jai. Send Ram to the forest and have my son Bharata in front. Now, this was again another one, a very delicate thing. But he feel he's obliged. He gave the promise, and now he's obliged to act accordingly. And the wife asking for something, and then yes, I gave you the promise. So what do you want? And then she gives this very cruel request. Of course, that's a character, that is a quality of our heroes in the Vedic tradition. They gave a promise and they kept it, even though it was very difficult. And maybe you could say it was crazy. Well, we could say Dasarath Maharaj in one sense went crazy, but there was another story also connected with that. Then we have in the Mahabharata and in the Bhagavatam, we have Yudhisthira Maharaj. He's also an extreme personality. Keeping to truthfulness. And then he ends up gambling away his whole kingdom, and even himself and his brothers. And of course, at the end he was saved by Gandhari, the mother of Duryodhan, and by then he was again cheated, and he gambled away, so to say, everything, and had to go also in exile for 13 years. 13, was it 14? I can say it. Now, we know Bhima, he's powerful, he's strong, and there's Draupadi, and they are in the forest, and Draupadi said, this is too much. And Bhima also thinks, this is crazy. Our crazy brother, But he is the older brother. So that is a principle, that the younger brothers follow the older brothers. We also have that Narada Muni once, he is also preaching to the older brothers, and the sons of Daksha. And then he makes the sons of Daksha properly understand the instructions of the father and they all take sannyas and go away. And then Daksha gets upset and there's, but he produces new sons who's going to take up the Grihabrata, the vow of being Grihastas, good Grihastas, helping the population of the universe. But then Narada Muni comes again and tells his boys, yes, you're younger brothers and your older brothers did like this, so you should do the same. And the younger brother said, yes, we should follow our older brothers. Okay, so they did. And Daksha got upset. But he accepted it in a way. But he got upset. Curse Narada Muni. He will not be able to stay in one place and enjoy life. Because that was a curse from Daksha's side, but a blessing for Narada Muni. And Prabhupada said, well, in one sense I've been... that curse has also hit me from the parents of my disciples. They're not happy. Their children are not taking to material life but to spiritual life and leaving maybe even family life behind. Okay, so Yudhisthira, Bhima and Draupadi, they approach Yudhisthira and say, "We know. Let's just go and kill them, Duryodhana and company, immediately. You know, take back what's ours." But Yudhisthira says no. He doesn't go along. Because he entered into the gambling and he, so to say, was involved to take the consequences of that. And his brothers and his wife followed him, so to say. So they could have just said, you know, forget it, yes, we go and kill them. No, Yudhisthira says, no, we have to follow the proper way, the proper dharma. In a way, he had given a word, he had made an agreement to be in that gambling. Now, this other, Arjuna also, yes, in the 10th canto, there's a story about Arjuna. He also makes this promise, there's this Brahmana in Dvarka, whose children just disappear, die or disappear. And then the Brahmana comes and to the doorstep of the palace, there King Ugrasena says, you know, what is this? What kind of kings are you? Here I'm a Brahmana, I have my children and they just disappear. What's wrong with you, kings? You can't keep proper order here. So when there's a good king, then things function nicely. And this was not proper. Then Arjuna hears this and he says, what is this? He said, no one here, is no kshatriya who can protect the brahmanas. Okay, I'm going to protect them. And then the brahmana say, yeah, speak big words. You know, the others haven't been doing it, been doing a good job, so what can you do? And you can see, now I'm going to protect you, and of course then you have to make a drastic statement, condition, and if I fail, I'm going to enter fire. So, be careful taking vows. Sometimes you think, oh yes, okay, later on. Arjuna said like that, and as the story goes on, the Brahmana, there's again a child, the wife is pregnant, Arjuna is there to protect the child, and the child just disappears. And then Arjuna, okay, he feels he's defeated, and he's ready to enter fire as a consequence of him not being able to protect the Brahmana as he had promised to do. Of course, there we have the Krishna factor. Krishna comes into the picture, says, no, Arjuna is very dear to Krishna, most dear, his most dear friend, of the friends, Krishna is the most dear, Arjuna is most dear to Krishna. So, Krishna says, no, don't do anything stupid here. And maybe doesn't say that I need you, but he says, don't do anything stupid. I will help you. So then Krishna enters the scene and takes Arjuna on his chariot and they drive through the universe to the end of the universe. Not the end of the, what's the end of the universe? With the outer, whatever, the covering of the universe, and cross the covering that is so dense that the horses can't run there, and he sends his Sudan Shakar to give light and way. And then they come to see, what do they see? They see Karanadaksai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, in the Kaushal ocean, and then Mahavishnu is happy. Okay, I'm happy to see you. I took the children. Okay. The children came back. The Arjuna was saved. The Yadu dynasty of the heroes there was also saved by the mercy of Krishna. The word of Arjuna was upheld by Krishna. So that way, the Bhishma Dev, he's also a remarkable character. Also, out of obedience to his father, his father wanted to marry this girl, fisherman's daughter. Of course, she was a very exceptional girl. But the fisherman's, the girl there said no. The father said, no, you can't marry her. If she marry you, then there is, you may have other children, or you may have, Bhishma Dev will have, I want her children from you to be the ruler of the kingdom. But then he said, but Bhishma Dev was a problem, because Bhishma Dev was the older brother there. But then Bhishma Dev says, no problem, father. You know, I will not marry. I will not have any wife. I will live in celibacy. That's a kind of commitment to the elders, demonstrated in the pages of the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata. Of course, then the demigods bless him. They say, "Bhishma, great vow." They drop flower petals over him from the sky there. So that is Bhishma Devi. If he wouldn't taken that, well, things would have been very much clear and easy for him and for many others. But that is interesting, how what they promised to keep that was so important. So that I thought is like, in this Kashyapa Muni said, well, I promised this, now I will have to follow that promise, even though it's very undesirable, the outcome. Of course, the situation will be saved. Kashyapa Muni is a great sage, and we will have a solution to the problem, or a possible way out. And that may also be a thing for us. may we make a promise, and if you can't keep it, what do you do then? Or maybe there's some way to fulfilling the promise, but if it's a negative in a way that no one is harmed. At least that wasn't the case what Kashyapa Muni did. But that is coming verses here, we'll speak about that. Krishna. Well, we know that Krishna gives promises. What does he promise? Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives promises, statements. And he is... the devotees are very dear to him. Okay, there in the Bhagavad Gita. Then. On the battle of Kurukshetra also, Krishna, in many ways, okay, that's connecting with Bhishma, I like that one story. Krishna took a vow, that's interesting. this Krishna.
Can we trust him?
Yes, we can trust him. His devotees are very dear to him. So he took a vow, or he made a statement that I will not fight on the battlefield. I will be part of the battle. I may be a part on either side, but I will not fight. I will not take the weapon. And then finally, the battle is going on, and Krishna is, so it's a just, a charioteer of Arjuna. Of course, that's not just, but... And there, Bhishma Devi is a great obstacle. The Pandavas is very dear to him. They have to defeat him. They have to defeat him. There is also the point, it was that the Duryodhan gets upset with Bhishma Devi because he thinks, you Bhishma, you're not actually fighting to your full potency. If you would, the Pandavas would have been dead now. What's going on? And then Bhishma Devi, okay, how does he say it? Tomorrow I will kill them. At least we'll kill, how do you know? So he's fighting, okay, oh yes, that's, and there's a condition. Something like, unless Krishna takes the weapon, Arjuna will be dead tomorrow. And of course, Krishna promised not to take the weapon. So then there's a day and there's this big fighting going on, and it's coming to the end of the day, and Bhishma is about to defeat Arjuna, actually to kill Arjuna. And then Krishna keeps his promise or breaks his promise. Actually, he runs off the chariot, takes a broken chariot wheel and attacks Bhishma Dev. Stop, you don't kill my Arjuna, you don't kill my devotee. And then Bhishma Dev is so happy. On one hand, because he didn't want to kill Arjuna, but he had given a promise that unless Krishna took the weapon, now Krishna kindly took the weapon to protect his devotees. So Krishna protected his devotees. He protected Arjuna, and he protected the world of Bhishma Dev as well. So Krishna also, we could say, kept his word that my devotees will not perish. Okay, yes. So therefore, there we go to the Bhagavad Gita. Apishet sura racharo badyate mamananya bhak sadureva samantavya mantavaya samyag vyavisito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. So Prabhupada says in the purport, doesn't mean that one can do stupid things and say it's okay because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I look good. Tilak, Dodi. No, I'm okay. I do something bad, but you know, Krishna forgives. Well, he will not forgive. Well, he forgave Shishupal 100 times. Okay, then Prabhupada said, hello, Krishna. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasva chantim nigachati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. And there we have Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. That's Krishna's promise. Well, it's not Krishna's promise. It's Krishna's promise, but he asked Arjuna to state this. Because Krishna sometimes don't, so to say, keep his promise. Well, he always keeps his promise to protect his devotees. That is a higher, we can also say, hierarchy of obligations or like that. So the higher. But he wants Arjuna to say that, because if Arjuna said that, then Krishna has to protect the words of his devotee. So declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes, so the devotees will not perish. Because hey, that's Krishna's promise through the mouth of Arjuna, and that will be so. Then Krishna says, he makes son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, and then he says, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, as well as Sudras, can approach a supreme destination. So here, we can say promise, it's a statement. And that's, well, women, Vaishyas, Sudras, okay. Well, Vedic Sudras, in the Vedic, Sudra was quite elevated compared with us nowadays. We from the West, it's actually all, I don't know what background we're coming from. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're sitting here today. We, all, me. Without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we wouldn't have been here. We would be lost, let's say. But then Krishna says, they can approach the supreme destination, those who take shelter in me, regardless of who you are, what level you are. You can approach the supreme destination. And then Krishna says, how much greater then are the brahmanas, the righteous, the devotee, and saintly kings, who in this temporary miserable world engage in loving service unto me. So we may or may not be saintly kings or brahmanas, the righteous, well, we could try to be righteous, we could try to be devotees, we can endeavor in this direction and get the blessings of Krishna. Who in this temporary miserable world engage in loving service unto me. So we're certainly in the temporary miserable world, we're on the age of Kali, but we engage, we try to engage, or we engage with the best capacity in the service of the Lord. And thus, we become glorious, or we become successful in our mission in life. Now I thought this with keeping words, so we may think, well, you know, I'm a devotee, why honesty and these things, you know. And I don't know, India, it's kind of a mysterious place in a way. There's so much devotion at the same time, there's all kind of things going on. Maybe the Christians have a more clear that, you know, you should be honest, okay, at all times. Okay, but still, I thought, one can practice, if you can't keep your word on a small scale, what says it will keep your word on a big scale? That's my thought. We practice in the small, then we may qualify ourselves for the great. Wow, vrata or challenge. If we can't keep words in the small details, how should we trust? If we can't keep in the small details, what promises that we will keep in a bigger scale? So therefore one can practice honesty. Or you promise something, you keep it. So we have our Hare Krishna movement, and it's very wonderful. Prabhupada has given his promises, something like chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles, you will go back to Godhead. But then here we heard this morning, that was a nice, I think Maharaj there was reading from somewhere, morning walk. Oh, Prabhupada said, speaks about sense gratification and how it's overcome by chanting Hare Krishna. Let's see if I got that right. And then the devotee says, yeah, but what happens if you still can't control your senses or whatever? And then Prabhupada says, well, then chant more. 16 rounds is minimum. Chant 64. Okay, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada gives instructions like that. But we can practice in a small scale. So cultivate our character that we actually can follow, be qualified to follow the big vows. Take a big vow and keep it. And this morning, there was very few young boys here. I think they approached Maharaj also. Coming, Maharaj, the question, how do I become a sannyas? Okay, sounds very good. Okay, how do you become sannyas? It seemed very serious. It was quite touching in a way. And then I said something, well, pray to Prabhupada, pray to Rupa Goswami. Then, and engage body, mind, and words in the pastimes of the Lord, in the narrations of the Lord. In that way, you can be qualified sannyas. But actually, in what way? In that way, we can say you are a sannyas. If you dedicate your body, mind, and words to the service of the Lord and hearing and chanting about the Lord, you can say that's sannyas. We have a danda, three danda, body, mind, and words dedicated to the service of the Lord or Paramatma. So in that way, take small steps, to small bites, and develop a habit of keeping your, take it serious. Oh no, it doesn't fit me, no. Of course, Prabhupada is very kind, because someone of my god brothers or whatever took the sannyas vow, maybe failed, but then Prabhupada was very encouraging. Okay, come back and render some service, so to say. But we shouldn't exploit, thinking, well, okay. Then we have the example of maybe some sannyas just simply took it literally and it failed, and you never saw him anymore. And that sannyas is very well known, appreciated his memory. So don't worry about big vows. Take small vows. Take small bites, and you know, develop in Krishna, and develop. We can have that as a principle. So it's the age of Kali. The Bhagavatam starts to describe that in this age, what does it say? One second here. Oh yes. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men of short lives, the quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So it's very disturbing, this age. But then at the end, in the 12th canto, in the third chapter, it's giving some hope. Well, of course, the whole Bhagavatam gives hope. Kalidosi nidhe rajan astiye kumahan guna ketana deva krishna sya mukta sangha param vrajet. My dear king, all the Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. There's still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So we are lucky. We may or may not be the topmost this or that people, but we can engage in devotional service and chanting the holy name, and thus make our life perfect and go back to the spiritual world, and hopefully create, actually I've already, it's already here, the spiritual world. The spiritual world is already here. Prabhupada's mercy, there is Gonitai, Krishna Balaram, there is Radhisham Sundar, Lalita Vishaka. There's 24-hour kirtan going on. There's pilgrims coming, and there's so much Krishna katha and glorification of the Lord. So we can say, that's a spiritual world. And then there's nice prasadam also distributed to the devotees. So that's why it's a wonderful place. We're already here. And Prabhupada says, don't leave. No, it's stay. Okay, we should stay. Stay with the chanting the holy name, and with the service of the Lord. And Hare Krishna, thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know, there's 3 minutes left. If there's any question or comment, you could. Prabhu, there's a mic somewhere here.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. Maharaj is here, was very honest. His entire life he never spoke about it. And then Krishna kind of induced him to speak about it. So how do you do
it? He had a hard time. Okay. So Arjuna was, Yudhisthira never spoke, he always spoke honestly. And then Krishna wanted to induce him, Krishna, okay, have him to tell one small lie, small and small. How do we explain that? Well, some say that, some places stated that Yudhisthira, that is, chariot was kind of floating over the earth, was not really touching the earth, but in this moment it touched the earth. And when the question was, because he told a lie, or because, or the other version is, because he hesitated to follow Krishna's instruction. So in that way, as devotees, we will Krishna's instruction is most important. And then We shouldn't tell lies. But if Yudhisthira Maharaj would not have been such a avowed speaker of the truth or keeping, then this trick by Krishna would not have worked. So it's a part of the big puzzle, how the Mahabharata went on and how the battle of Kurukshetra went on and how in this case Dronacharya was defeated. So that's what I can say. Now, but why did Krishna want Yudhisthira Maharaj to be the emperor of the world? Well, he was such a wonderful devotee and most honest and, you know, dedicated in that way. So that, we can say, that's the caliber of personalities we could then take that Krishna wants to have as the leaders of the world. But not, but you won't make it as a political leader. It's not based on honesty and truthfulness. It's cheating, gambling, manipulation. So we should be leaders of the world, spiritual leaders. And then if we are monks, maybe we are monks. And then at least in the Christian world, if you say you're a monk, then there's some expectation that there's a correlation in your behavior and your way of being like that. They may or not always keep it up. So that way we can say we are leaders, we are preachers, and we should endeavor for a higher standard of character, endeavor for, try to develop and manifest. Hare Krishna.